This is Josh Sumby, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Drayton, North Dakota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan, and along with Tyler Donaldson in studio, we'll also have an update from Whitney Pittman at Scottsdale at the National Farmers Union Convention. That Farmers Union Convention continuing, Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has more.
National Cooperative Business Association President and CEO Doug O'Brien, you were on a panel here. Tell us what were some of the big takeaways and big points that you really wanted to drive home for the audience.
It's great to be here with the National Farmers Union, who's a real champion for the cooperative business model. So the panel today was focused on the future of cooperatives in rural communities, certainly farmer cooperatives, but also rural electric cooperatives, and how the cooperative business model might help rural communities solve some of the challenges that they're facing today.
You talked about technology and the role technology plays in cooperatives, some of the pros and cons of that situation.
I think technology is really a double-edged sword for rural communities and for cooperatives. On one hand, technology does tend to create an even bigger magnet for people to go to more urban areas. It's where a lot of the tech jobs tend to be composed and some of those businesses. On the other hand, as we saw, particularly during the pandemic, that we could see that technology could be a solution for people who want to live in rural communities. Not only people who their job might be headquartered in the city, but businesses and households that now have more and more access. And we also saw in the last two or three years that there have been a lot more resources coming down into cooperatives, rural electric cooperatives, telecommunication cooperatives that are bringing Wi-Fi and internet out into rural communities that will really help people participate in the modern economy.
One of the questions posed to the panel was about challenges facing cooperatives right now, and one of the things you mentioned was capital. Why is that becoming an issue or continues to be an issue?
Yeah, capital access has been an issue for cooperatives for a long time. We talked about today how, you know, cooperatives put the people who use the business, might be a farmer in a farmer cooperative, it might be a rural household and a rural electric cooperative, they put that person first. That's the design of cooperatives. Well, that means that puts outside investors, they're not in the first, you know, in the front seat. Like most businesses, outside investors, they're the ones who get treated best. In cooperatives, the people who use the business get treated best. Well, a result of that is that it can be a little bit more of a challenge to attract that outside investment. The cooperative community over time has done a great job of creating cooperative finance institutions, both rural electric and co-bank and the farm credit system. But that's something that to grow cooperatives beyond agriculture and utilities, we need to think about that access to capital issue.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. Doug O'Brien joining us here on the Red River Farm Network.
Coverage from the 122nd Annual National Farmers Union Convention is brought to you by Minnesota Farmers Union, North Dakota Farmers Union, South Dakota Farmers Union, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. Reporting from Scottsdale, I'm Whitney Pittman.
Speaking at the National Farmers Union Convention in Scottsdale today, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack said that the farm bill delay really just comes down to money and partisanship.
You got to have the votes to get a farm bill passed. Now, there's some who believe that it would be better if you just separated the nutrition title from everything else. The problem with that is the nature of the Congress. With as many people who represent urban districts, they'll see it as something that's not necessarily totally beneficial to their particular constituency. So right now what you have is a circumstance where there is not support within the structure of the Farm Bill. There are proposals to take money from the IRA and the conservation money that's available to farmers, all farmers, and shift that into the Farm Bill and then use it for a number of different purposes. The problem with that, of course, is if you're shifting it to help a subset of farmers, you're denying resources that are available to all farmers.
According to Vilsack, the tools are already there to get the Farm Bill passed.
In a situation where you're confronting a very difficult circumstance, why restrict yourself just to a single tool? Why aren't you thinking about using all these tools in concert that allows us to then get sufficient numbers of votes in both the House and the Senate to get this passed? Until we see that kind of flexibility, it's going to be difficult and there's going to be a standstill. And then some people think, well, an extension of the existing farm bill is better than a bad bill. So I continue to encourage members of Congress to think more broadly and more creatively. I think there's a solution there, but there has to be the will to search for it. And I'm hoping over time that we get to that point, because I know how anxious everybody is.
Ever Ag market analyst Cole Adams said the wheat market today finding a bit of support.
Kind of after the report last week, not a whole lot of news out of that. Kind of digesting what the report had to say. Like you said, in particular, wheat kind of found its support here, bouncing off the lows that we set last week, a couple of days, and, you know, just kind of turning green this time around. So corn and beans, still trying to find green on their screens, but nonetheless, it's been a good couple-week little rally here.
Lowen and Associates President Pete Lowen says the livestock market continues to struggle today.
Looking at the front end of live cattle April contract, you know, it had been carrying a fairly sizable premium to cash. Well, we've narrowed that down to about $2 or $2.50 that it's still holding premium to where cash was last week. Of course, it's not April. We're not into delivery, so not super important that those start to converge. But we are obviously seeing meats come down. And like I stated, we've tripped some triggers on the technical side of things that could potentially keep the meats under a little bit of pressure here in the near term.
American Crystal Sugar Company beet stock reached a new brokered high last week, $5,900 per share. Acres and Shares broker Jason Menke says there were 8 brokered sales totaling 264 shares between $5,700 and $5,900 for an average price of $5,773 per share. So far this trading season, 4,422 shares have traded. Average price is $5,316 per share. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council is in Uzbekistan for the second time promoting Minnesota soybeans. Council Director Ben Storm says that there is a lot of room for U.S. soybean trade expansion with Uzbekistan.
Everybody is very excited about getting some Minnesota soybeans or some United States soybeans into this country. From the sounds of it, they are currently getting some out of South America, but the price out of the U.S. versus the South American soybean meal is very similar, and they're just trying to figure out the logistics of getting the U.S. soybean meal in here to feed their poultry. They're currently using about 300,000 metric tons of soybean meal in the country. They should be pushing 1.2 million metric tons, so there's a lot of potential for growth in their soybean meal business as well.
According to Storm, the quality of U.S. soybeans is a big bargaining chip.
The meal out of the United States would drastically improve their poultry production, and just more inclusion rates of soybean meal will improve their poultry production. We would like to ship it out of Duluth and go out through the Great Lakes and come straight across the ocean.
Lake Wilson, Minnesota farmer and Soybean Research and Promotion Council member Gene Stoll is on this second trade mission to Uzbekistan.
We had heard some good things were happening in Uzbekistan. Looked at some of the demographics and said, you know, this is an area we should look at. So myself and another director came over and found everything that we'd been hearing was very true, and talked to a lot of poultry producers and dairy producers at that time, and got to visit their farm somewhat and found out that, yeah, we could do a lot of things to help them improve their productivity. So that's why we came over the first place, and this second trip now is just to see the progress that is being made.
And Stoll says it's nice to see that progress.
Biggest thing that sticks out in my mind on this trip is the acceptance of what we're trying to do here. The first trip, everybody was still a little bit skeptical as what we as United States soybean producers could do for the production here. Now, after we've had our in-person contractor here, and along with another person who is helping the poultry side of things and helping their improve their poultry practices, it's fun to see how producers have embraced the idea of changing some of their practices.
Texas wildfires continue to destroy valuable land and resources, while one entity is stepping up in a big way to help out. Texas A&M AgriLife Regional Program Leader Danny Nusser describes the livestock supply points that AgriLife is installing.
They're being managed by our county agents in those counties, and so they're in charge of kind of getting the volunteers, coordinating everything, and obviously there's a lot of people involved with that. You know, there's volunteers, there's businesses that are helping use their land or their places to stack hay and do things. They're volunteering with tractors and things to unload trucks and load trucks. And so there's a lot of people involved. But those agents work with their emergency management coordinators prior to a disaster in developing an animal issues plan for that county.
Supply points are able to provide hay, fence, and food supplies for producers that are suffering from the wildfires.
Don't be afraid. Get in there and get what you need. Or call somebody at that livestock supply point and say, I need this. And we'll round up somebody to help you get those supplies. So, you know, last time I remember when we did this, a lot of those guys were going, well, my neighbor needs it more than I do. And so they weren't coming to the livestock supply points. And so we really encourage them to come in, get what you need, and make sure we get your needs taken care of. We're going to take care of your neighbors as well.
USDA's weekly export inspections report for the week ending March 7th showed corn inspections at 1.12 million metric tons, 2% less than the previous week, 9% more than the same week last year. Soybean inspections, 706,000 metric tons, 39% less than the previous week, but it is 11% more than the same week a year ago. Wheat inspections coming in at 403,000 metric tons, 12% more than the previous week, 56% more than a year ago. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The National Farmers Union has released a new tool for producers suffering from mental health issues. Union Chief of Staff Brittany Jablonski says TogetherAll is intended to highlight the importance of mental health and to help producers get in touch with others in the ag community who are suffering from similar experiences.
So the Family Farm Wellness Alliance is a peer-to-peer support network. We're launching this here today, making it available to farmers and ranchers all across the country. So farmers can join, look up the agriculture network, make sure that they're connected with producers from all across the country to share the stressors of their operations. You know, farming and ranching is a stressful job, and so being able to connect with producers from all over the country, whether it's, you know, talking about financial stress, weather-related disasters, family stress, you name it, substance abuse, anxiety, depression, really allowing farmers to come together, share those challenges with other farmers from around the country.
One-on-one counseling for eligible participants on the TogetherAll platform is also available.
The really important part of this program is a second tier called personal assistance services. If you're a producer who joins the TogetherAll platform, connecting with farmers from across the country, and the licensed clinicians who are moderating those conversations determine that you might benefit from some individual one-on-one virtual counseling, you're going to be referred into this virtual counseling opportunity completely free, completely anonymous. Available to you as a farmer virtually. So we think that this is an incredible opportunity for farmers and ranchers to get some of the counseling services that they may need.
Checking markets before we leave you this afternoon. May wheat Minneapolis 7.25 cents higher, 669.75. Chicago May wheat's 9.5 higher at 547.25. Kansas City May wheat 10.75 higher at 599.5. May corn 2.75 cents higher at 442.5. July is up 3. New crop December, 1.25 cents higher at 473.25. May soybeans, 4.5 lower at 1179.5. August is down 1.5. And new crop November, down 0.25 cents, 1173.5. May canola in Winnipeg, $7.80 a metric ton, $617.30 Canadian. April live cattle down 10 cents, 187.52. June's down 37. August down 5. March feeder cattle down 82 cents at 248.37. April is down 97. May down $1.25. April lean hogs down 82 cents at 83.55. May down 45 cents. This is the Red River Farm Network.